Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Let's go to Caitlin Casey. Caitlin is in Clare, a third year student, Galway Institute of Technology, nursing student, 19. We've been contacted over the month. We've been through the callers like Caitlin highlighting this issue, but now it was put down in a motion. I think it was Solidarity People for Profit. It turned into a political football about paying the student nurses, and now it's one side versus the other, and who knows who's going to back down first. But Caitlin, good afternoon.
Hiya, how are you?
And you saw it, obviously the government voted against the motion, and this has generated more upset and anger.
Yeah, it definitely has, across the country for sure.
Okay, and where have you been working through COVID?
So I've been up in Mayo in the University Hospital through this.
Okay, and what's that been like?
For the most part, it's been fine. During the summer, obviously, when we were working, we did get paid, which was great. We were so thankful for that.
In the first wave, yeah.
Yeah, we were so thankful for that. But then, obviously, when it came to going back to college in September, our payment was cut off, and we were told we had to work for free again. And then also, on top of that, they kind of stopped us working our actual weekend jobs. So we had no source of income, and for myself and my classmates, it was the course of 3 months. But I know for people all over Ireland, it was even longer than that, and it's still going on now. So it's just kind of like, how do we fend for ourselves, and how are we supposed to keep ourselves going with no source of income and no help from the government, really?
But as Colin Bourke TD pointed out yesterday on the programme, if you did have a job, a part-time job, and you were nursing, you could claim the PUP on the basis of having a part-time job, but that would only affect a small minority, would it, at this stage?
Exactly, yeah. So it was a bit all over the place. Like, we weren't really told, kind of set in stone until we were already started placement. And then at that time, we were kind of just trying to get our wits about us. And then we were told, obviously, we can't work on top of that then. So it kind of just left us in the dark, really. And, of course, a lot of us are living away for college because we can't really be going home to our families during this time and putting their health at risk. Then we have to pay for stuff like rent and food and getting to and from college. And with no income, it's kind of nearly impossible to do, really.
And when you're on placement, Caitlin, do you have to do night shifts, for example?
No, so just placement is just 13-hour day shifts. But during the summer, I was doing night shifts in the hospital.
And the 13-hour are the nurses' shifts, three by 13 a week?
Yeah, that's
it. Okay. Now, so tell us about how you had to ended up doing night shifts.
So just during the summer, I ended up doing night shifts in the hospital. It just worked out that that was what I was doing. And I didn't mind doing them at all, you know, getting paid. It was completely fine. And I was happy enough to do them. Then it just came back to the college again. And they deemed it as us getting an education. So that was kind of their excuse not to pay us, which is just a bit unfair because we were doing the exact same work as we were doing all during the summer.
And what are your colleagues saying? Your fellow students, have you been on WhatsApp groups?
Yeah, no,
Facebook?
We've all been chatting to each other all day today now, but they're just saying the same thing. Like, it's hard, especially because, like, I have people in my class that are parents that have children to fend for as well, not just themselves. And it's kind of like, who is caring for us? Well, we're out here trying to provide a service for everyone as students to get our education, but who's looking out for us at the end of the day as well while we're doing this? We're kind of just left in the sideline, really. And I suppose I kind of have to get the point across that it has nothing to do with the colleges or the nurses that we did work alongside on our placements. They were nothing but supportive to us and helpful. It's just, sadly, it was the government that we had the issue with that we're initially trying to fight, because it is like fighting our corner, trying to get our voices heard.
And Caitlin, if God forbid you did get sick, and you are working in a hospital, even leaving COVID aside, but even if you did get sick from working in the hospital, are you entitled to any payment then?
Yeah, so even if, say, we did get sick on past placements working in the hospital, we're actually not entitled, even COVID aside, we're not entitled to sick days. So if we did get sick, we would have to repay them days during the next summer or whenever convenient to the placement site. So every sick day had to be paid back. So we didn't really have a say in, you know.
You had to pay every sick day back?
Yeah. We weren't really entitled to have sick days.
Okay, no, you had to work. If you were sick for a week, you had to make it up?
Yeah, exactly.
Does that exist anywhere else?
It's every college in Ireland is the same. It's all for student nurses and midwives, okay. all the same across the board.
Okay, stay with us for a sec, Caitlin. Yeah. I want to bring Beryl in, and then I'll go to Professor Paul Horan, who's contacted us. Beryl, your family are at the receiving end of the great care from our medics. Go ahead, Beryl. It was your husband.
Yes, that's correct. Our story started in early March of this year, mm-hmm. and my husband had to be admitted through an emergency to the University Hospital in Limerick, and then moved to Dublin for specific diagnostic tests.
Okay.
And during that time then he contracted COVID, and he was treated then in the University Hospital in Vincent's. And his one abiding memory is the care from the nurses and the medical staff. But the nurses in particular, I guess, because they would be in and out to him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And what stressed him very much or caused a lot of distress was the fact they were wearing the PPE equipment, and he never actually got to know them. Unfortunately, one nurse tended to look like the other, and because he was already in a kind of a weak state and very fatigued from his symptoms, I have to say, thanks be to God, his symptoms weren't as severe. He didn't have respiratory problems and things like that, but he was very fatigued. And one of the processes that happened during that time was he had to have repeated swabs. Obviously, okay. so they would know if he was the virus was clearing.
And they're very uncomfortable.
They're extremely, and he's a strong man, but he dreaded these so much. And one of the nurses, now again, I don't know, and he doesn't know whether they were student or staff nurses, and it didn't seem to really matter. But one particular nurse actually cried when she saw the distress of my husband. And I mean, and that even yet when he's recalling that incident, he gets quite emotional. And another thing, when the nurses, thank God, when he was cleared of the virus and able to be discharged, the nurses, as is apparently is the custom, and staff, they line the walls of the ward to as a kind of a walk of honour, I think. And he didn't know any of them. And that he found that very distressful. Again, and two of the nurses who came down to allow him to see us, because he had to go on to another stage of this treatment. He didn't know them when they were wearing their scrubs, but they were absolutely wonderful. One of the nurses had actually left her. She had done nursing, and she left it to do another degree of study, another line of study, and she answered I think it's called the call, was it, to come back for nursing?
Yeah, they were saying Ireland's call, come back and if you have medical experience or whatever, come back. So you're saying one of the nurses had left her chosen profession because she had trained as a nurse and went back to nursing?
She went back to nursing.
That's
incredible. She used to bring my husband the newspaper, so that meant a lot.
Yeah.
And of course, the fact that family can't visit, so the nursing staff and the medical staff, they become their contact with the outside world.
Of course. Stay with us, Beryl, because Paul Horan is assistant professor in the School of Nursing and Midwifery in Trinity College in Dublin. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. You want to join the call in this campaign, so to speak. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, well, a couple of things. The first thing is that, historically, prior to the degree, nursing was kind of like a trade. You went and you learned, like, electricians and everything else.
Okay.
And the students back then got paid.
Okay.
We decided then to move education into the university, and we decided, well, okay, that's all good. And then it was free at the time, Joe, if you remember, the university education fees came in after that.
But, yeah, okay.
But that's fine. In fourth year, the students do get paid. But I think the issue at hand here is the challenges that Caitlin spoke about. It's not the fact that they're not student nurses aren't getting paid. It's the fact that they can't earn additional money because of the restrictions and part-time jobs. So you've got students, say, from Donegal or, you know, the west of Ireland or working in Dublin. But because of the restrictions, they can't go back. And many of them would have been working in the hospitality industry, for example.
Okay, that's gone. Yeah.
So they can't earn any money. Now, the PUP payment, the government got it right to begin with regard to the PUP payment. Mm-hmm. And then, in their wisdom, then they stop that. But these students, you know, are going in. Now, for the first 3 years, we call them supernumerary. But that's not really been the case during COVID, Joe. These students are working, doing proper clinical tasks, supervision.
They are not...
They're part of the workforce.
They're not surplus to requirements, are they?
Not at all. You know, so I think what we need to do here, you know, I have a really simple solution for this. Really simple solution. And I understand pay agreements and all that stuff and Haddington Road and everything else. Mm-hmm. There's a really simple solution, Joe. Agree to pay the student nurses a bursary in year one, two and three. A fourth year is different because they're interns and they're nearly pre-reg staff nurses. Yeah.
And there is a priest and the pre-reg Gardaí get paid. Pre-reg nurses get paid as well. Okay.
So that would be my example. I mean, these students are putting themselves in harm's way. You know, I mean, the government want everybody else not to get infected with COVID, yeah? And they're expecting these students to go in to work in the midst of the possibility of infection. And let's just throw a few facts and figures here. I mean, and it's important. At the end of June, 31% of everybody getting infected with COVID were healthcare professionals. It's currently running at about 16%, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Now, in a recent article in the Indo, that's suggesting about 50 healthcare professionals per day are getting infected with COVID-19. Yeah? Mm. And there's a couple of other questions to be asked here. So what happens to somebody, and students have been infected, and staff nurses and healthcare professionals, what happens to them if they get long COVID as a result of doing their daily work?
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple. So I'm advocating, and there's one other point I wish to make. And that is around, and the reason I emailed you the other day was around the registration fee, because you spoke about that earlier in the week,
That's due 100 quid.
So that's due at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's due, like, at the most expensive time of year for everybody. Well, a statutory instrument to the Act can change that. So why not waive the fee for all registrants until the 1st of July 2021, make it 50 quid for next year, and let it roll June to June every year. And stop asking nurses to come up with 100 quid to pay their registration at Christmas time.
And have you 14 or 21 days to pay that, Paul? And if you don't, you're gone.
The deadline for that, Joe, is the end of March.
Okay.
But the other side of it is that your employer... Like, if your employer require you to have that piece of paper to say that you're safely licensed to practice, so it's not as simple as you do need to present that.
Well, of course.
Quite early on. So, I mean, I think it's really important. So I think, but I also want to make another point. You know, I do think the opposition are, you know, playing football with something quite sensitive here. And I don't think that they should be getting mileage out of trying to saying these things about student nurses and nurses in the middle of the pandemic for political gain. This is across the parties, across the political divide. These are the people, everybody will have a nurse or midwife in their lives. Either a midwife to bring you into the place or a nurse to hold your hand going out of this place. And applause isn't good enough, yeah? You can't go to the shop and ask to buy something in the shop and clap for the people that you're buying it for and expect that to be enough. Because it won't happen.
That it has been turned into one side versus the other, what are the chances of the government backing down? Even though every government TD who comes on and mentions it is obviously biting his or her lip, because they don't, in the middle of a pandemic, how could you not be in favour of this?
Yeah, but why did they vote against the motion in the Dáil then the other night? You know, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. I mean, the government voted against the motion and said, no, we're not having it. You know, we've voted against it. So my bottom line is, please stop playing political footballs with the sensitivities of the people that we need to care for us in the midst of this horrific pandemic. I find that apparent, actually, Joe, to be honest. It shouldn't be a political football. It should be a cross-party agreement. Let's get this fixed. And I do appreciate the pay agreements and the complexities of union agreements and all that. But the government has said, the Taoiseach has said yesterday, did he not, that this review won't be completed till September 21.
That's right, yeah.
No, that's not good enough.
And Paul, in the School of Nursing and Midwifery in Trinity, have you done international comparisons in terms of COVID? And is it, that's the same the world over, is it, that frontline staff have been the victims of COVID in a
well,
in
here's a good
way.
Example. I mean, I'll give you a piece of, you know, international research that's out there within the profession. The International Congress of Nursing published a paper on the 27th of October this year.
Okay.
Tell us from 44 countries that they had done research in or had details of, 1,500 nurses have died. Now, Joe, I know you did a really brilliant piece of research around 1916 and the kids and everything else, but that number is significant, right? Because that's more nurses than died in the whole of the conflict of the Great War.
Wow.
Now, and that's a staggering statistic. And what they estimate is that that's a conservative estimate. They reckon if we look across the whole spectrum of healthcare workers, there could be 20,000 healthcare workers dead across the globe. And all those workers did, all those professionals did, was go to do their job to help people who were dying of COVID. Now, I have another question. What is the government going to do? People have died on the front line in this country. And what provisions are the government making to help the families of those bereaved individuals who died caring in COVID?
And we
it's
presume
a very difficult question.
Yeah, I know. We presume it's being. I presume it's being addressed at the minute in some shape or form. Paul, stay with us. This is Paul Horan. He's the Assistant Professor in the School of Nursing at Midwifery in Trinity College, Dublin. He contacted us to add his voice to this issue, which has been on Liveline for 6 months now at this stage. There was a campaign initially that student nurses should get paid, and that was granted during the first wave of the pandemic, and then it was removed for the second wave. Margaret Brosnan. Margaret, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. Your call, please, Margaret.
I'm just totally agreeing with everybody, all the rest of your listeners there, Joe. I'm just retired from nursing myself after 40 years of nursing. And I know what it's like to be in the healthcare setting. And especially during these unbelievably stressful times, student nurses really are the backbone of an awful lot of the work in the healthcare system. And I firmly believe that the government have once again reneged on their duty to student nurses, particularly during this pandemic. And
when you hear the government saying it's a holding operation, obviously they're wrong when the vote was put to them in the Dáil. When you hear the government saying, well, other student teachers don't get paid when they're on placement.
Well, you have a point there, Joe, but in this scenario, particularly the student nurses. Would say in comparison to my day, where we as student nurses, you know, worked on the wards from day one, and were given an awful lot of responsibility. We were paid to do that work. I'm quite sure today that the student nurses, despite being compelled, we'd say, to be supervised, that they have really been thrown in at the deep end. And they have to sustain their existence because a lot of them have to leave home in order to get trained. And you know, as on prime time last night, you know, a lot of them have had to rely on the hospitality industry to supplement their income. And now the government seem to feel it fit to say that they are postponing any progress on their rates until next September. You know, this is at a time when they have been on the front line, they have put their lives at risk. And, you know, as I've said in my email, it's all very fine to thank the frontline workers on billboards and for the government to, you know, thank them. And, they sent out an appeal.
But you remember that appeal for Ireland's call? Did they recruit many overseas, Margaret, as far as you know, or did people leave other professions to go back to nursing?
Well, from what I can gather, Joe, about 50,000 people responded to that call to their patriotism and their support for the Irish call. And from what I can gather, and I'm not great with figures, Joe, about 10%, now I could be completely wrong, but about 10% of that 50,000 managed to get jobs because of all the red tape that was involved in their applications. Our Irish people, we are very patriotic, and I feel very, very strongly about this because from my own experience, both as a student nurse and as a nurse, we do work very hard. And statistics have shown that, there's a huge percentage of the frontline care workers that have contracted COVID during this pandemic. And as your previous listener has said, you know, a lot of them have died, Joe. And, what has been put in place for their families? Is it just going to be a thank you from the government, you know?
I can only presume, we can only presume, Margaret, that given the across all government departments, politicians, civil servants, medics, scientists, and the public, including yourself and Paul and Beryl and Caitlin, given the reaction, I think that no government would be found wanting on that front.
But Joe, Paul, can I come in on that?
Yes, Paul, yes.
But they have been found wanting.
On the shooting,
we have a parliament, yeah? And they voted in our legislature against fixing this and told us we can wait a year for it to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've heard enough rhetoric, yeah, from politicians, and I don't want this politicised at all, and I'd rather it wasn't.
But it has been.
It's now a political football.
Well, party political. It was always a political issue, but it's now party political.
But Joe, bear in mind, you know, it's not that long ago that on the airwaves, and your show in particular and other shows, nurses were on strike outside the Rotunda, the Martyr, all the hospitals around the country. And members of this government were adamant that they were going to beat the nurses and midwives back. And they did their damnedest too. And now they find themselves in a situation continuing, in my opinion, not to treat the profession with the due fairness, and particularly in this time of crisis.
Okay.
Let me give you one final example. There's been many wars in the history of humanity, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the term, you know, the war or the fight or the whatever, you know, the military terms have been used with regard to the battle against COVID. No soldier ever went over a trench in World War One, for example, without getting paid, yeah? And we're expecting training nurses and midwives to go into the midst of becoming infected, and this is a highly infectious, virulent disease.
Yeah.
And I think I would go so far as to say that what's occurring is a form of exploitation. It's wrong, it's unjust, and it shouldn't be part of a democratic society.
I think that's a very strong point at the end there, Paul. You don't need me to validate your points. Go back.
No, I don't.
And I know you don't, but correctly so. But Paul, in fairness, the nurses weren't beaten. They did win that battle, didn't they, 4 years ago?
I don't agree with you. Okay. I don't think they did. I really don't think nurses did. I think the complexity of pay agreements in Ireland is if the nurse gets X, the guard must get Y, and the other person in the civil service gets Z. Yeah. I think we need to change this. And you know what I find really interesting is that as a profession, we thought if we became a graduate profession,
that
we would be treated differently and with the respect of having, imagine our nurses in Trinity are sought the world over, you know, we're producing some of the best midwives and nurses in the world doing, like, just let me tell you how important this is. The School of Nursing in Trinity is ranked, I think, around the top 50 in the world. Okay. It's first in Ireland, seventh in Europe. We're producing absolutely brilliant, and as are the other colleges across this country.
Okay.
And it's about time the government, you know, stood up to the mark and realised that caring, we have learned during this pandemic, caring is a really valuable commodity. Mm-hmm. Because if we had no nurses who were capable of caring during this pandemic, where would we be today?
Okay, well, it's two.
You've done a great job.
Yeah, two strong lines there that are resonating in my head from what you said, Paul. One is about 15 minutes ago when you said you can't pay for a loaf of bread with a round of applause, and this or there or thereabouts. I was afraid that was the point you were making.
I know.
And then the second point is nobody ever went into battle like that where their lives are at risk without being paid. I know it doesn't make up for the thing.
Joe,
Margaret,
Joe,
yes.
Can I come in there,
yes,
please?
Yes, of course, Margaret. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry, Beryl. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with Paul's last statement, because from this started in our family, in my situation, I certainly looked on all the nurses and as food soldiers, which I think is the term they are. And it is a war that we're dealing with. And I actually go as far as thinking if people could see it as a war, we would hold back and wear our masks and the distancing and the whole package that we've been told to adhere to. We would be much more cautious, because the virus is a viral war that we have here.
Okay. Is your husband home now, Beryl?
He is, yes.
Oh, no, thank God. Okay.
Thank you.
And kind regards to you and him, and also Paul and Margaret and Caitlin, Casey. Caitlin, when are you back in work?
So I'm off now for the Christmas. I just finished up a week ago. I was my first time home now in about 13 weeks, actually.
Wow. Wow.
I just couldn't risk coming home to my family, the risk of if I was to give them anything.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I'll be going back to college now the 18th of January, and I can start working again then whenever I'm ready after placement. It's just for the course of placement we can't work. But I suppose before we go, and I just wanted to make the point that I say on behalf of myself and the rest of the student nurses and midwives in Ireland, we kind of took this degree on and wanted this career path because we all have a passion for helping and caring for people. But then I can't help question who are the people that are caring for us, but it certainly isn't the government at the minute. And it is really disheartening. And especially saying that a lot of people are saying that we only shadow and observe on our placements, which is completely false, because we're so hands-on. The only way in nursing you can learn is being hands-on and being on the wards. And we are doing 13-hour shifts. And we're not just there for the 13 hours observing. We're there doing the work. And it's just disheartening when it's not really taken seriously. Okay. And we're just completely exploited by the government. And
when you, as you say, you've been in contact, you're all in contact, well, a lot of you in contact with each other. What's the temperature among the student nurses after this rebuff?
I say we're all just kind of in the same mind frame about it. We're all just really upset about the whole thing, Joe, to be honest.
Okay.
We just don't know. We just don't know where we stand. We don't know what we're going to do, because if the government aren't supporting us, what are we supposed to do? And we're the future of the healthcare system in Ireland. Yeah. And we're being treated like this. It's not a good sign for our future, really.
Okay.
And I suppose I felt like I had a responsibility to come on today and kind of spread awareness about it.
Okay, well said again. Thanks, Annie, Caitlin, Casey, Beryl, Paul Horne, Assistant Professor in Trinity College, and Margaret Brosnan. 51551, wash your hands.